Amen is right. How are you doing this evening? Our first Wednesday night service, a little more intimate, isn't it? I tell you, I'm having the time of my life trying to get used to being as far back from you guys as I am, so I feel more comfortable being this close to you, and I'm glad you came out on this Wednesday evening. I wanted the last message that I preached out of the old sanctuary to be about my favorite theme, the kingdom of God. And I wanted the first message that I preached in the new facility to be on the kingdom of God as well. And as we'll read momentarily, I can't think of a better verse than Matthew 6:10. As you come into sanctuary, you see where it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Incredible verse of scripture. Have recited the Lord's Prayer for so many years, it risks losing its significance, but it is a profound verse of scripture indeed. In fact, I've recently been thinking I could actually go on a preaching tour, preaching nothing but the kingdom of God the rest of my natural born life and only touch the hem of the garment. I'm convinced. And after tonight, I will be going back systematically, expositionally through a book. That's my forte. That's what God has called me to be, an expositor of the Word of God. But I took a little mini-series within the broader series to share with you. This will be the sixth and final one for now. There will be more later on down the line of my little mini-series entitled Kingdom Expositions. So if you would, I want you to stand, and I want you to quote, or if you feel more comfortable looking in your Bibles, you can do that as well. It's found in Matthew 6:10. And because we're so familiar with this verse, and I love the King James on this verse, that's the one I'll read. So read it with me. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If we looked at the original Greek, it would literally render, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done right now." Right now, on earth as it is in heaven. And so this is not some far-off hope one day it comes. Right now. And there's a lot of domains that are outside of your realm, but not your heart. You can bring it into the kingdom right here, right now, tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, move mightily upon us in kingdom power. We believe that you're here and you're going to speak loudly and profoundly, and we look forward to how you're going to speak to our hearts. And so use me as I am your spokesman tonight. Give your people hearts to receive. And we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. It recently dawned on me what a strange human being I am. It really did. I have got to come across very strangely to the understanding of reality in this world. In a world that takes as an assumption that what you can see is ultimately all there is, that we have to delete the metaphysical or the spiritual in an ultimate sense because we want to delete God, that everything can have a mechanistic explanation, that we now can understand and explain everything in terms of science. And don't you misunderstand me, there is some great science, there is some Christian science, but I'll submit to you that science always has and always will submit to the authority of the Word of God. And so sometimes when I'm interacting with the scientific community, just so that I want them to at least conclude somewhat about what I'm saying, because if all reality is what we see, and we think about what we see, the ideas that are proposed to us, what the newscasts tell us, what the pontificates explain to us, then we're going to be completely mixed up as to what indeed constitutes ultimate reality. See, Scripture teaches an inversion from what you see and think is the main thing, in actuality is not. And you, as Christians, are in on what is called the divine conspiracy because you know what ultimate reality is and you are a vital part of it. So if I talk with some of my friends, I've explained some of this to you before, my science friends will tell me, well, that all matter comes from energy, and I'm glad to hear that. But then when I ask them, what is energy, they always are going to have to conclude with either one or two answers. Usually they'll say, well, mc squared. And I'll say, I didn't ask you what the mathematical formula was, what is it? And then they will inevitably begin to describe to me a function of it. And I said, I didn't ask you what the function was, what is it? And then they realize that they can't tell me what it is. Now, scientists have since even reduced it further than that. And we have what we call quarks. This is substantive reality that is of a energy or a power that exists, and it's supposed to be definable, and reality now is no longer simply reducible to energy, but even further reducible to quarks, whatever quarks are. And now the latest is what they're calling memes. And as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm sending out thought waves, and they're substantive. And you're reading them, you're receiving them, and you're understanding them. And so now we have to call something that's going on here, that interaction, because we have to have some kind of definition and explanation of what's going on so that we can, in a mechanistic way, explain all reality, and we do not have to appeal to the transcendent realm of what I argue is ultimate reality. See, I have got to be one weird individual in this world. Because you see, I don't believe ultimate reality is irreducible to energy, quarks, or memes. I believe that ultimate reality is reducible to the kingdom of God. Now, I dare say something like this tonight. And Dallas Willard says this quote, and I think it captures exactly what I'm trying to say. Listen to this. The idea, if you're listening to me, say amen. The idea of an all-encompassing, all-penetrating world of God interactive at every point with our lives, where we can be totally at home and safe regardless of what happens in the visible dimension of the universe, is routinely treated as ridiculous. I'm ridiculous. Paul says it seems that God has paraded preachers on the scene at the last of the last days as refuse of the world. And yet, until we begin thinking that there is an ultimate reality that is present here tonight, that's always been and always will be, that we can be interactive with at every point, and that there is something in us that gives us contact with that, and it is actually ultimate reality. And that's how you and I are to operate in this world in which we live. It was the message of Jesus Christ. It always has been, and it is today. Until we learn to live life in the kingdom of God, we cannot fulfill our purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth right now as it is in heaven. So the first thing you're going to have to start thinking, the different categories you're going to have to begin to operate within is, first of all, and I've said this before, but in this last sermon, in this little mini-series, we've got to make sure we have it down, is that you have a kingdom or a queendom. No amens, but I'll just assume that you're on board. You have a kingdom and you have a queendom. God has created you uniquely as a human being that way. That is what distinguishes you from animals, the highest animals. You did not, through evolutionary processes, emerge from a monkey. You are distinctly different. You have a capacity within you called creative will that has created you in the image of God, and there is an appropriate domain of reality in which you have dominion. There is a domain of reality where you are in charge and you can determine what will be done and what won't. God has allowed you that for a period of time. He's got a grand purpose for it. But you are created in the image of God. And if you think that being in the image of God is hair on your head and skin on your bones and muscles and sinews, you got another thing coming. You are created in the image of God. God is spirit, and so are you. And you have a will whereby you, with a certain appropriate domain of reality, can decide and determine what happens. Let me give you a little demonstration of that. You ready? I'm going to, through a thought process that I'm not even going to reveal to you, I'm going to exercise a thought. And it will use my mechanical apparatus called the brain. We talked about that. You can slice my brain up, but you can't find me, right? Okay, I'm going to tell my brain, I'm going to order my brain to order my arm to do something, and this is how you're going to tell what it is. What did I just tell it to do? That's within my kingdom. This is in my kingdom. This is in my kingdom. That's in my kingdom. That's a domain of reality. I can put my mind on these words and read it. I can think certain things. Ladies, you can make a cake, let's just say. You can get your flour and your sugar and your eggs and all this stuff, and you mix up all these ingredients. If you taste any one of them individually, other than the sugar, it probably wouldn't taste too well. But you can mix them together and bake them, and out comes, hopefully, a delicious cake. A domain of reality of which you can, through self-determining processes, create. Creative will. And not only that, I can extend my kingdom to your kingdom. We can have interactive kingdoms tonight. Watch this. I want everybody here tonight that loves Jesus Christ to raise their right hand. I just extended my kingdom to your kingdom, and you responded back with your kingdom. You didn't tell me you're going to raise your right arm. You just determined you'd do it. Say this. Now watch how you can use your mind. Repeat after me. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the only way you can do that is because you have a domain of reality that you are over. Do you see this muscular body here tonight? The truth of the matter is you see me, you look at that, you say, that's Steve Cobb. You think you see me, but you don't see me. I'm telling you right now, if you withdraw who I am from this body, it will no longer be a body, it'll be a corpse. Who I am sustains this body. I am occupying it right now, and I'm using it. You with me? Now, when I think about who I am, the best I can come up with now, this spirit that uses this, and remember, spirit is unbodily personal power, is using my personal power pack, my body. It operates within it, with it, and through it. I'm conscious of the fact of who I am. I'm conscious of some activity within my body. There is a consciousness of a subconscious reality that causes me to operate. Also, I can make decisions with my will that I've already demonstrated to you that has a domain of control over which I can determine what I'll do. Certainly not unlimited like God, but with a little limited capacity. And so my spirit, through my consciousness of it, acknowledgement of subconscious realities, and with my decision maker, my volition, my creative will, I, Steve Cobb, can work in and through and use his body, you see. Now I occupy my body. I can even overflow it a little bit and interacting with your kingdoms, but you cannot localize me in it. And here's the amazing thing that happens when we grow up. I don't know if this is true, but I believe it is. It is the nature of spirit not to show up where it's not wanted. I'm working on that one. I'm not sure about that yet, but I'm thinking, I'm getting all, just pray for me. That it will not show up where it's not wanted. And I'm telling you, when you grow up and you start getting hurt in this world, you begin to learn how to hide in your body. And you know what happens? You will use your eyes, your facial expressions, and your bodies in such a way to manage and manipulate people in order to achieve something you want or avoid something you're afraid of. And what's so glorious about a little child, they have not yet learned that. They're just all over the place. They just say something off the cuff. You can't believe they said it, but I love that. They don't know that you're going to have to grow up and learn because of this sin-wrecked world. You're going to have to hide that mess. And so they can't even tell a joke without letting a punchline out about halfway through it. And I've noticed that saints of God who have walked with God a long time and are very close to Him again attain that childlike quality. They really do. They're just kind of all out there. They don't try to hide, and it's rather humorous. I saw this recently in a guy named Rufus Mosley. We got some old tapes of him, and just he couldn't preach a sermon without laughing all through it. He's just like a little kid. It was wonderful. And so you have a kingdom and a queendom, and you must understand, as you begin thinking in those categories, God has something in mind for you, and I hope that just a little bit I can get across what that is. There's something I'm working on now that I'm so close, I'm just not quite there, but I think once I get there, it'll be revolutionary. Okay, you with me? You have a kingdom or a queendom. Now, here's something that shouldn't catch you by surprise by now. God has a kingdom. How long has God's kingdom been around? A long time. How long? Always been. How much longer? Always will be. And see, I believe the Bible, do you? And the Word of God says that everything that is shakable is going to be shaken. And if everything's going to be shakable, I want to know what the shakable is. I got sciatic pain going down my left leg. It's shakable. This grand facility, if left alone and enough time, would disintegrate. Shakable. The Bible says, if you want to know what is shakable, it is created things. And everything that you and I are now peering through our eyes, looking at and listening to as what constitutes ultimate reality, the Bible says is a created thing and is shakable and is not destined to make it ultimately but will perish. The only thing that is unshakable is what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that is within you. The kingdom of God that is around you. It is as eternal as God. It always has been. It always will be. And what is of and in you that is kingdom is destined to endure forever. The kingdom of God. Where is it? It's here. In the atmosphere. If you're born again, it's in your heart. What is it? The rule of God, where what God wants done is done. Where is it? It's in the abode of God. It is in the planetary heavens. It is in the atmospheric heavens. It is in you if you believe in God. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's in the heavens. It is accessible here, now. Invisible to the naked eye, but the effects of which are not, much like my arm moving a while ago. It's an invisible realm that manifests itself in the visible realm. Now look at this quote I have in your notes. This is stunning, and this is a quote that's close to what I'm working on that I've almost concluded. Dallas Willard says, "The person of God Himself and the action of His will are the organizing principles of His kingdom. Listen at this. This is stunning. But everything that obeys those principles, whether by nature or by choice, watch this, sports fans, is within His kingdom. We talked about you had a kingdom and a queendom. Got more to say about that in a minute. And that God has a kingdom. And that everything that obeys the principles of the kingdom, whether by nature or by choice, your volition, your will, is within the kingdom of God. Got something to say about what that means for then outside of those realities. Quite frightening, quite frankly. Have you ever been to the medical doctor where he had to go through a lot of ordeal to find out what's wrong with you? One time I almost passed out before I did a wedding, and I had severe stomach pain. They didn't know what it was. My pancreas levels up. First they thought I had pancreas cancer, then they thought I had liver cancer, then they thought it was gallbladder. It wound up being H. pylori, and I had to be off for 3 weeks. But what I learned in that whole system is that they discovered what was wrong with me by virtue of a process of elimination. They ran all these tests. Nope, it's not that. Nope, it's not that. No, not that, not that. Ah, here, this is what it is. How did they know what it, listen, they were trained to know when something is operating appropriately, you're okay. When something is not operating appropriately, something's wrong. If I use kingdom language, I'd say as long as my system's operating according to the kingdom by nature, everything's fine. As soon as it is anti-kingdom, functioning abnormally in a way that is not designed by God for whatever reason, then I have problems and you do as well. That's by nature. But also by choice. By choice, you can enter into and link your kingdom with His kingdom. Now, before I get into that and more in depth, I want to explain something. I believe it's going to be pretty clear tonight. And if this is a shock to anybody, I want you to say amen, okay? Here it is. It's the next point in your notes. God's kingdom conflicts with other kingdoms. Anybody surprised? What are those other kingdoms? If everybody has a kingdom or a queendom, if Jesus is teaching us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," right now as it is in heaven, then I guess we can assume that God, of course, has a kingdom. Amen? And that we must assume if we have to pray the kingdom to come and the kingdom has always existed, then there must be other kingdoms. If you and I realize now that we have a kingdom, a domain of reality of which we can exercise God-given dominion, then we must conclude if the kingdom of life, light is advancing against the kingdom of darkness, what? That there are kingdoms in conflict. And you're caught up in that conflict. Where are some kingdoms that are in conflict with God's kingdom? Does it surprise you to understand that there's some social orders right now in profound conflict with the kingdom of God? Did you know there's some political hierarchies that are in unbelievable conflict with the kingdom of God? Did you know that there are individuals and groups of individuals whose wills are set against the kingdom of God and they are in conflict with the kingdom of God? Does that catch anybody by surprise? See, here's the scary thing. When we think of God's kingdom that is everywhere, the planetary heavens, the atmospheric heavens, within us, is there anywhere where, at least for a period of time, that God permits His kingdom not to be fulfilled or not to be realized? Well, we know in glory it's automatically done. We know eternally when Jesus comes back and sets up His reign, it will automatically be done then. But in our sphere, where you live and I live, on planet Earth, there are human beings who, with that domain of reality under their dominion that was given to them by God, That means that they're created in the image of God. They can use that will and rebel against God, as indeed they're doing. Make sense? We've got all these human beings on this little planet in this huge cosmos that are going around forging their way. I'll have my way or else. I will run the show. My will be done. And that's the dangerous part. See, God says, no, my will be done. You say, no, my will. God says, my will be done. You say, no, my will be done. And that goes on until you get to a point, like in Romans 1, where He turns you over and He looks at you and says, okay, your will be done. I don't think you want that, personally. There are kingdoms in conflict. Now, here's one of the scariest realities of God's respect of a little bit of sovereignty He allows you. I almost wish he didn't, and He wouldn't, but He does. God honors your decision to live in His kingdom instead of to live in your kingdom instead of His kingdom. You've got a choice. Are you by a conscious act of your will bring your kingdom into this glorious kingdom of God, or are you going to say, no, God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'll do it my way. I don't like your way. Your way takes too much time. No, I know what you say. I know what you want me to do. I feel the conviction. I know the Word of God. I heard the preacher. I've sung the song. I'm not going to do it your way. You don't say it like that. You rationalize it, justify it. You make it sound so good. But you know what's so tragic about it? God says, okay. You can do it your way, but you're on your own. Is He there? Yes. Is He still sovereign? Yes. Does He still love you? Yes. Will He be awaiting you? Yes. But you can enter momentarily or longer, dependent on your own obedience and trust. You can be on your own in terms of outcomes in your life. That's dangerous, folks. Let's take, for instance, someone, as inevitably is going to happen when you're a preacher. Let's say that someone says something to you that sets you on fire. You know, preachers aren't going to be in the pulpit too long if they hit people. So usually they got to go out in the woods and chew through a stick and then come back and try to get. So let's just say, though, one day someone is way out of line with how they're talking to you. Now I've got a choice. How I can react. Scripture says, gentle answer turns away anger. Scripture says, pray for those who mistreat you and persecute you. Do well by them. Speak well of them. Do not take revenge, my friends. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, it's clear. The Word of God has been spoken, and the Spirit of God is within my heart to empower me to do what otherwise I cannot do. But in that moment, I can say, no, I'm not. I'm going to bless him out. I'll cuss him. I will run him down. If I have an opportunity to do well by him, I won't. I will hurt him. I will get him back. His day's coming. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but I'm going to take over today. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. He'll let you. But when you come running back with your tail between your legs, don't say, I didn't tell you so. You can use any category you want to in that moment. You can choose to enter into the kingdom of God and align your kingdom, which you can do. That's right. You might not have control over their kingdom and other kingdoms or what happens worldwide, but you do have some say over your kingdom, and you can submit it to the will of God. And I want you to know, whatever you do with that decision, God will honor that decision because He has not programmed you as a robot. He is going to train you to where you will live for Him. Matter of fact, I can go ahead and give you the ultimate plan. You ready? God wants to bring you to the point that He can empower you to do what you want to do. I just want that to sit with you a minute and let it shock you and you get upset and pray to God that I clarify it somehow soon. When God gets through, He can empower you to do anything you want to do, and He can just cut you loose because all you'll ever want to do is glorify Him. So that's how characters develop. See, character is revealed by what you do when you don't have to think about it. That's the first level. And then secondly, what do you do after you think about it? If someone pulls out in front of me, my character is probably not of such that I would go, well, thank you, Jesus. Wasn't that sweet? Something else might come out. But the second it does, I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. Now, other things different. I'm trained. Before I can even think about it, I do the right thing. See, we are wanting to do right, but we're so prepared to do wrong. And that's how character develops. Like, a long time ago, every time I see a hit animal on the road, I pray for the family. Because I know that somebody lost their little dog or cat and they're going to be hurt. So I pray for them. Now, it is so automatic, I'll pray for a squirrel if I don't catch myself. I'll start praying, oh, that's right, squirrel doesn't have anybody. That's the truth. See, I've trained it. I do that and without even thinking about it. But there's a whole lot of other things that before I can think about it, I do something I regret, and I have to pray for forgiveness. But what's happening is that's a part of the transforming process. And what I'm beginning to understand, if I want the power of God to be such that it is in coaction with what I can do and do in and through and beyond me far more than I can ever do, I've got to start doing it His way. See, Jesus is not just a wonderful teacher and a miracle worker, and God in the flesh, as wonderful as all those things are. Can I tell you here tonight, Jesus is the smartest man who ever lived. And if you say you trust Him and you believe in Him, then you're going to do what He says. And if you're not doing what He says, let's just go ahead and get honest tonight. We do not trust that He's the smartest man that ever lived. We are not trusting in Him. We will trust in Him when we believe what He tells us is right and we do it. Because of that. It's that simple. And Jesus tells us to do some things that are kind of, well, like I tell you, crazy. But won't you just try it? And watch what happens. It leads me finally. You can surrender your kingdom to His kingdom and live in the flow of God's life. Is that what you want? What, about a quarter of you? Do you want that? That's for you. You don't have to wait to heaven. That's for you. Let me tell you something stunning here tonight. You know why more of us aren't living that? We don't want it. There's other things we want more. Not that. I want to play. I want to make money. I want to have fun. No, I got to tell you, preacher, I don't really want that. Quite frankly, it sounds a little boring to me. Well, it's okay. Just hang on in there and let God break on. You'll get to the point one day you say, you know what, I might ought to take another look at that. To live in the flow of God's life, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How much do you breathe that in a day? Come, kingdom, come. In me, around me. You're prayed through it continuously, whether you ever pray it. I pray it over you continuously. Now, do you think this is the Lord's prayer or your prayer? It's your prayer. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ here tonight, say amen. It's your prayer. And some of you come up and say, well, I want to know how to pray. Well, Jesus taught you. Our Father who is in the heavens. Hallowed be thy name. How many of you prayed today? God, I pray in my life and everybody around me throughout the cosmos, you will be treasured above all things. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done right now on earth. The kingdom, how does it come? You invoke it through prayer. Come, kingdom. You say, well, why doesn't it instantly happen when I pray it? What do you think you're the only kingdom God has to deal with? You go ahead and align your kingdom with His kingdom. You let Him worry about the other kingdoms. You let Him worry about the principalities of evil in the heavenly realms. You let Him worry about what He is doing in their life, where He has brought them in their spiritual development and growth. If someone is lost, whether or not they're going to be saved, what's going to happen for a group of people in the overarching, incredible, sovereign purposes of God. You let Him worry about that, but you align yourself with it. Father, I align myself with the kingdom, and I pray that your kingdom would come in this situation. There will be times I'll have to trust Him and wait, but you can invoke the kingdom of God. Hope you don't have any problems with that, because I'm going to tell you something. God's demand is my command, and His command is my demand. Always has been. By the way, when the disciples were going around rebuking demons and healing people, they weren't praying. They were invoking the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, see. In the name of Jesus, I command you out of him. I mean, they got carried away there initially. They were going around, boy, this, woo, wow. I mean, the kingdom was wired hot and axed. Y'all know that? Do you see what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they crossed wires with the kingdom? Just told a lie and they went out. Man, I mean, the frequency was up. Some of y'all say, boy, I'd like to see it. I don't think you would. I don't think you want the frequency that hot. I mean, it was serious. The kingdom of the heavens. When you got crossways with it. And I'm telling you right now, I want you to start invoking the kingdom of prayer in your life and the world around you daily. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done right now on earth as it is in heaven. So you invoke it through prayer. And you act with it through faith. You understand that? We walk by what? Faith and not by. We walk by an invisible reality, not a visible reality. We operate within that domain to affect the domain and the world around us. This is what I do. Take it for what it's worth. Continuously and daily, I try to simply acknowledge the reality of the kingdom. I want to work with thinking in those categories. I acknowledge the kingdom. Then, because the kingdom, to act with it, is to act with faith, I know that I must invest myself into it. Stick with me. Some of you are going to be healed and changed tonight. Or I risk myself against it. I hurl myself against the reality of the kingdom like the plane. If the air under the wings does not catch it, when it assumes it will hurl itself against it, it will not fly. And see, that's the power of the childlike faith. The child presumes it's okay. I love that. See, no one can enter the kingdom of the heaven, said Jesus, unless you approach it like a little child. You just risk yourself again. You just presume it. You hurl yourself again. It catches you or else. Every great thing that's happened to me in my life has been that way. I mean, I was terrified, but I just thrust myself again. Oh, dear God, if you don't catch me, I've had it. And guess what? I'm still here. You got it? Acknowledge it. Invest in it. Risk in it. Hold yourself against it. And then rest in it. Hey, guess what I've learned in kingdom living from a type A individual who has a plaque on his wall that says, Lord, give me patience, but hurry. You know what one of the most powerful disciplines in kingdom living is? Waiting. This is why I have to practice the disciplines of faith called solitude and silence. I have to practice that to work on my impatience. And my wife is helping me a great deal. See, to trust in the Lord and to wait on Him and to do it in a way that I'm not grinding. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a contentment there. There's a rest. My kingdom's aligned, God, but hers is not. His is not. The church's is not. What we're trying to do in New Bern is not. But mine is. So, Father, I'm going to pray it. I invoke it through prayer. I will act with it in faith by virtue of aligning myself with it. I acknowledge it. I risk myself against it. I hurl myself against it. And I will rest. I will trust and wait. And the only way I can do that is if I abandon outcomes. And that's the last thing, accept death. Boy, it's taken me forever to learn this. I am not responsible for outcomes anymore, folks, and I'm free. I am to trust God and act with Him in terms of the results, the numbers, the outcome. It's completely in His hand, and I can't tell you what a great relief that it is. I heard this illustration recently. This is what I want to stop doing. You ever watch people bowl? Now imagine the irony of this. You know, we're so... Well, it's just insane how we think we're in control of things that we're not. I'm left-handed, but they'll go down and they'll throw the ball. Now, once you release that ball, you've let go of it, haven't you? I mean, it might be a strike, it might be a split, it could be a gutter, it could be a number of things. Even if you think you've hit it right in the pocket just right, it might be a strike, it might not. I mean, there's just an absolute world of out of control there. And what will they do? Like that's going to do something. I'm tired of ootin', aren't you? See, I want to say that I've let something go to God, but I'm sitting there, let it go, lay it down, abandon the outcome. You can surrender your kingdom and walk in His kingdom. Let me close with what I pretty much consider is one of the most misunderstood text in Scripture. And as a matter of fact, I might misunderstand it, but I don't think so. It's in Mark 12. Listen to this. You don't have to look there because you'll remember this. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. This story familiar with you, say amen. Now listen to this. Calling His disciples to Him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, do you think that actually occurred, or do you think those are just pretty words? Now, notice what he's saying here. He's saying that the rich were putting in large amounts. Okay? But he says, the poor widow, he calls his disciples, look at this. He was watching. He said, look at this. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Do you literally believe that? What do you mean? Two copper coins. What do you mean she put more in than everybody else? Look at what the rich people were throwing in the coffers. How can he say that? If it's not just pretty words of a poet, what is he saying? I'll tell you what he's saying. The difference was this. When that woman, all she had to live on, in faith, placed those two copper coins in that plate, she was not placing them in that plate alone. She was placing them in that plate with the hand of God, and that money went much further than all the rich people put together. Do you hear me? You say, well, how do you get that? How do you not get it? Where's the fish? Where's the loaves? See, Jesus could turn energy into matter right before your eyes. Ladies, He didn't need the ingredients to make the cake. He made the ingredients too. And I'll tell you right now, some energy started coming out the end of his hands, and fish and loaves multiplied, and 5,000, 8, and 12 basketfuls of scraps were left over. That's the kind of God you're serving, friend. And when your action is collided with his, you just like that widow, friend, you just bring your little bit, put it up with God's, and watch what God does with you, in you, through you. Then you are fulfilling the destiny for which you're created. You are living in the kingdom of God now as an apprentice of Jesus Christ. How's that? I think that's all I got to say about that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for ultimate reality that we can enter in now, a life so good it lasts forever in the heavens. And all of God's people said,